Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. How do you make a difference in your world when you face unexpected challenges? My guest today is proof that even challenges out of your control can be used for the good of others. Sarah Kovac has been blazing her own path her entire life. She's an award-winning author and editor whose work has been featured in outlets such as Time, CNN, USA Today, Upworthy, and The Atlantic. She's a wife and the mother of two children, and the recent founder of Adapting Every Day, a website that offers vetted products that make daily life easier for those with disabilities. And Sarah is no stranger to living with a disability. She was born with a genetic disorder that left her arms essentially unusable. But that ongoing challenge has become an avenue for seeing human kindness at work in her world. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah Kovac.
Thank you so much for having me.
So glad that you're here. Sarah, you live in Kansas City area, St. Joseph,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And just so listeners know, we had a personal connection when I lived there as well. We were both young moms and went to the same church and experienced some play dates together and, you know, the whole raising tiny humans thing when you feel like you're drowning, you know. So that is how we got to know each other a little bit. But I want to jump into your story. But before we talk about Adapting Every Day, which is one of the big reasons I wanted to bring you on this podcast, can you share with us about the disability that you live with and how it affects your life?
Yes, it is called arthrogryposis. And it shows up in different ways in different people. It actually just comes from a baby not moving enough in the womb. So the muscles don't develop like they should and joints get frozen into place. For some people, it only might affect two knuckles on their hand. For some people, they may have club feet or not be able to, you know, walk at all. For me, it affects me from my fingertips up to the base of my neck. So all the muscles in my shoulders and my arms and hands are underdeveloped and small, and many of my joints in those areas don't bend. So very early on, I learned that it was much easier to try to just do things with my feet. You know, about age two, I started picking up crayons with my toes, and credit to my parents, they let me just explore, because a lot of parents will get freaked out about their kids doing things in a different way and try to encourage them to do things in the traditional ways. And that actually ends up, for kids with disabilities, it ends up causing more trouble than it's worth. So I started just learning to do things my own way and becoming very stubborn over the years, because that's what it takes sometimes. So anyway, that's the effect it's had on me is, I can't use my hands very well, use my feet for everything, including like typing for work and driving and taking care of my kids. And also the effect of, you know, extreme stubbornness in my personality. Those would be the two symptoms, probably.
I think your stubbornness is a gift, though, don't you think?
I think it has been a necessary tool for sure. I think it's why I'm where I am. Yeah. Sometimes it's one of those greatest strength, greatest weaknesses situations. It's hard to sometimes learn to ask for help, like. Mm. As I've, you know, I'm over 40 now, and after 40 some years of doing things in this strange way, my body starts to hurt. You know, like I'm using my body in ways it wasn't made to be used, and so I have to ask for help more these days, and that's tough. But I think it's an important thing to learn, and I like that my kids see me learning that lesson, you know, along with them. So it's overall a gift, but sometimes it is hard.
Well, you've also had another recent challenge that I think a lot of us can relate to, and that's job loss. Can you tell us a little bit about that period and why you started Adapting Every Day?
So I worked for a division of USA Today for about 7 years. And the first five-ish years, I was covering smart home products as a writer and an editor. And the last couple years, I had heard that the folks above me wanted to start covering adaptive products. And of course, I have a lot of personal interest in that topic. So I was just kind of over here going, hey, you know, let me chip in, let me help. And so they gave me the great honor of basically building it, building this coverage myself. So, you know, I was writing mission statements, and I was finding freelancers, and I was, you know, creating content plans and media appearances and stuff. Just a lot of things that were pretty new to me, but just building it from scratch. And then, unfortunately, the entire division was shut down last November. Not just our little adaptive section, but the entire company. So I was really bummed because I really enjoyed what I was doing, and it felt like I was making a difference. We were finding products that helped people live more independently and more comfortably. Folks in the disabled and aging communities were finding, you know, things that we recommended to be helpful in their lives. So I was very sad to lose that outlet. But as I started to look around at the other jobs available, there's not a lot in the e-commerce space right now, which is what, you know, like where my experience is, but there really aren't any other places doing what we did either. And, you know, every time I'd get passed over for a job down low, I was relieved because I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be doing that. I want to do what I was doing. And so there was just kind of a moment where I thought, you know, while I'm looking for a job, maybe I've done it before, you know, I've built something like this before, and I know how it works, and I know about SEO, and I know e-commerce, and I know I have the knowledge. So like, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
So I just started building. I'm not a web designer, and I'm not a graphic designer, but I just started kind of tinkering away in WordPress and Illustrator and put something together, and really didn't launch until the beginning of this year. And I've been really surprised at how excited people are about it, even though, you know, it's just a small thing right now, but it's a place where people with disabilities can bring their hard-earned wisdom and share what works for them and help the rest of the community. And there just aren't a lot of venues for that, you know, public venues. We've got little support groups and things like that, but there aren't a lot of online spaces that are public and open and welcome, you know, recommendations from the community of people with disabilities and caregivers. And so people are just really excited about it. And of course I am too, but yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
So for people who have never been to the website, or maybe don't have a disability, the reason that this is important, and correct me if I'm wrong, is because products are vetted on your website by people with disabilities. So real people have used these and say, this works for me and my condition. And just like any kind of Google review or something, but probably carries a lot more weight. Is that fair?
I think so. And I think the people in this community have gotten really used to not being spoken to directly. A lot of times it's our caregivers being spoken to or our doctors or therapists, but we aren't often looked at as the consumer or the expert. You know, we'll look to therapists and doctors as the experts. And don't get me wrong, they have great expertise. But for somebody who's been living with a dexterity disability for 40 years, I have knowledge that a therapist just doesn't have. So I think it's just, it's time to have a place where we can bring that earned knowledge. But yeah, that's what makes it different, is you have a lot of spaces where it's somebody who doesn't understand the disability, or at least has not lived with it, telling people this is what's going to work for them. And that's really not what we're doing. We're saying, and I say we, because it's not just me, you know, I'm pulling in other people with disabilities to help, but we're just saying, hey, this is what works for me. Maybe you'll like it. You know, maybe it'll work for you. But I mean, a lot of what it is having a disability and trying to make life work is trying stuff. You buy so many stupid little things and trinkets and gadgets, and it's always little stuff. But, you know, we have so many little things in my house that I've thought, oh, maybe this will make things easier. And then it doesn't work. And then I have to try to find a different one. And it's like, if somebody out there already did this, So why don't I just look for those people, find what actually works, and put that stuff out there. So yeah, everything on the site has either been chosen by me, you know, with after having worked with a lot of people with disabilities and with product reviews, chosen by me for a specific disability, or it's come in as a recommendation from somebody in the community as something that they use every day.
What is one product that you've discovered that you think people should know about, and why is it life-changing?
That's really hard to narrow it down to one, and that is because, well, the things that I find most intriguing and that you will find on Adapting Every Day are small, little convenience things to most people. Like, I have a button hook that helps me button jeans, and it looks like a little Swiss Army knife with these little hooks and loops and stuff. And that's not a life-changing, exciting thing, but it means I can wear jeans. I couldn't wear jeans if I didn't have it. Another thing I really love that I will always yell from the mountaintops about is Kizik shoes, which I haven't put on my website yet, actually. But they're just slip-on shoes that look like normal tennis shoes, because so often, you know, the people that design things for the disabled community don't mind things looking, I don't know, like medical. You know, like they're not pretty. Many of us don't want to stick out. You know, we would like to have things that just look like regular shoes. And that's what these are. And they're comfortable. So there's just little things like that that just take a tiny little bit of hassle out of a day that is full of hassle. So, you know, enough little products like that really can change your day. The less time you spend just messing around with some little thing that's not cooperating, it just makes your day better, makes your life less frustrating.
I saw the toothpaste holder that attaches
to
the mirror.
Everybody loves that.
I think everyone needs that. Doesn't matter what your condition is. Like, I need one of those. Just to distribute my own toothpaste, like in the right amount, that would be incredible.
And then it doesn't get all over your sink. Every little drop out. I know. It's great. And I have one. And I first put it in the wrong spot on my mirror. So like it doesn't stick like it should. So I'm totally going to just buy another one because they're so cheap and they're so, I love, it's so satisfying.
Yeah.
Put it in there, it just squeezes out like the perfect amount. I don't know. Everybody, I was not expecting people to get so excited about a toothpaste dispenser, but here we are.
Especially parents. I mean.
Yeah. I got one for my kids after I got mine for sure. They loved it. It's like anything to make toothbrushing less of a fight, I will do it.
Because it doesn't matter how often you clean a sink, there's toothpaste in it constantly with children.
Right.
At least that's our house.
Right. Or like smeared around the end of the tube. You know, like they don't touch the tube at all with this thing. So it's much cleaner for sure.
Yeah. Well, I loved watching that, watching you do that review of that product. That was really fun. Okay. Can you share a personal experience that highlighted the gap for you of, you know, you mentioned there aren't resources by and for the disabled community very often. So do you have a personal experience that highlighted that gap for you? And then how did that inspire you to become an advocate?
Well, two things. I always think about what it was like when I was really young in the 80s and my parents didn't have, you know, all the resources that we have now. You know, it was just kind of like they would get maybe a quarterly magazine of adaptive information from some organization that knew of our condition, and that was like it, you know. So I like to think about what I can be and do for other families that are in a situation where they're feeling like they don't have the resources or the knowledge. But there's another childhood memory that always pops up for me, and that was when they put me in occupational therapy, and I don't know how old I was, but they were trying to teach me different things. Like, they were trying to teach me how to get dressed and strengthen the muscles in my arms to use them more. And there was one day where, for some reason, the activity they were having me do was throw these bean bags into a big plastic tub to strengthen my arm muscles. And I had fought against these therapists so much. Like, they wanted me to do things a certain way and I wanted to do them another way. And I remember that day that my therapist got called away on a phone call, And when she had walked away, I just picked up all my beanbags, walked up and dumped them in the tub. And she came back and it was like, oh, I got them all in. How about that? You know, but she wasn't helping me find my own way. Like she was coming in with her own ideas, which probably work for 9 out of 10 people. But in my case, I just needed some encouragement to trust my own gut and to go my own way. So I think that really just, it's stayed with me. I there aren't many experts on my disability because it's rare. So I guess I'm just used to people not understanding and to being the expert on myself and being my own advocate. And not everybody gets the encouragement to do that. But I just think that's where a lot of adults with disabilities end up, is they just have to learn to fend for themselves in a lot of ways. I just think that the combination of just maybe not feeling super understood as a child and knowing that my family had to do it with so few resources really makes me want to encourage other people and make sure that they have the resources they need.
How do you hope adapting every day evolves? You're still small, right? You just launched this year. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what do you see in the future?
You know, I've always been the kind of person who just kind of waits for a door to open in front of them. I'm not a person with a lot of like big goals, and somehow that's worked out for me so far. But I would love to see, you know, we would get some actual reviews going on the site. Right now, it's just like a collection of products. Some actual reviews and maybe partnerships with other with companies that are producing products that maybe they don't realize are adaptive. So many of the products on my site are not built to be adaptive, but people use them in adaptive ways. And so, you know, some of these products, you don't think of them as adaptive, and it's kind of a shame that they don't market to disabled people, because they are adaptive. So, I mean, I'd love to have some influence on that, like on how companies are seeing their products. I also just added a feature this week where people can go on and just put in their disability, and it will say, it uses AI, and it'll say, oh, you probably have these symptoms. Here are some products that help with those symptoms. I would like to improve on that and have it be a place where people can go in and say, my kid has this disability and I don't know what to do. What are some things that can help with hygiene, you know, and then we would be able to supply, or even I could, you know, consult with people one-on-one. I think it could go a lot of different ways. And I'm just, as with so many things in my career so far, I feel like I'm just sort of along for the ride, and I'm enjoying where it is now. And what comes of it will come of it, but I just hope that, it can be helpful along the way.
That's really neat. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well,
I really
you.
Am.
Me too.
I think it's important work, and it's neat to see you using a challenge, not just for your own good, but for the good of other people too. That's really inspiring. Really is.
Well, I don't. It's selfish too, because it feels really good. You know, when you have something difficult in your life, and then you can point at this good thing came of it. You know that.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot easier to deal with when difficult things come your way, I think.
Sarah, this whole podcast is about inspiring people to make a difference where they live and with what they have. So what would you say to listeners who really want to make a difference where they are, but maybe they don't know where to start, or they don't know what the next step is for them? What encouragement would you offer them?
It's always been my experience that the real impact I can have on people around me flows directly out of the most painful things that I've been through. Even if it's just talking about it, even if it's just sharing a story about something difficult that I'm going through, for people to know that they're not alone in it and that other people are working through similar things can be incredibly impactful. But you'll find, if you do that, if you can come to a place where there's enough healing that you can sort of expose those painful places, that opportunities will present themselves. Like they will come to you. You'll run into people who you can help in small ways. And that is where I think that's where it matters. You know, it's exciting to think that you could do something that would make headlines or change, you know, the course of history. But that's all, you know, we're all doing that all the time in very, very small ways. So I think, as boring as that sounds, I think it's a matter of being able to find a place where you feel safe enough to be vulnerable and to allow other people into that and to be willing to give from that, I guess. It's a matter of keeping your eyes open, I think, because it's always there. There's always something to help with. There's always someone who needs an encouraging smile or something like that. As cheesy as that sounds, it makes a huge difference in people's day.
I think it's the humanity part of kindness that is the most effective. And I think you're right. Vulnerability is really important in showing people life isn't always easy. And in fact, it's usually challenging. It's usually bumpy. But what we do with those challenges really matters. And if we can help each other along the way, even better. Sarah, if people want to know more about you or more about Adapting Every Day, where can they find you online?
Well, Adapting Every Day is just at adaptingeveryday.com. And my email is sarah@adaptingeveryday.com. And there's a little bit of a bio about me on the site as well. So, I mean, really, if you were to just search my name, there's quite a bit on me out there just because I've always been very open with my life and vulnerabilities. And so it's not, you don't have to look far to find something, but I'd love to see some people, you know, trying out the new feature on my website or emailing me about some daily struggle that they're up against that they might be looking for a product for. I'd be glad to, you know, check into that myself. I'd love for them to come find me.
That's neat. If you are listening, please go to adaptingeveryday.com and check that out and give feedback. I know building a business or a website or anything takes a lot of effort, and feedback is super important. So whether or not you have a disability or you have a loved one with a disability, check out that site, give her some traffic, and then shoot her an email and send some feedback on it. I think that would be really helpful and encouraging, right? We can show you some human kindness.
The other thing that I just wanted to say was, no, you may not have a disability. You may not even know somebody with a disability, but that will not always be the fact. Being totally able-bodied is at best a temporary state of being, and there will be moments in your life where you need help or somebody that you know will need help. And so if you know what products are out there, when that time comes, you're going to be ready. And some of these things, like the toothpaste dispenser, it's like that makes everybody's life easier. These are just things that make your life easier. That's all it is, you know? So like, you don't have to have a disability to find something super duper useful on the site, because if it's not useful now, it will be at some point, I can assure you.
Yeah, that's good. I can attest to that. I want the toothpaste dispenser right here, right now. Oh, Sarah, thank you for being with us today. I have always admired your vulnerability and your courage to be authentic and open. And you've always been so gracious with people. And I feel like you're a natural teacher. So thank you for that. You're really reaching a lot broader audience than you probably think. So thank you for that and for championing a better life for people with disabilities. I think you're doing meaningful work and making a difference in the world, and it's really inspiring to watch you. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jennifer.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out so that more people can be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, look for ways that human kindness is at work around you. And don't just notice, be a part of it. See you next time.